Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And before we continue here, let me just say, I think I've said this to you before, but I really pray for it, that this might be food for you, that really might help you. You know, God's Word is living. God's Word is living. It's not just something you pick up a book and read. This is God's Word, and God's Word has power to touch your heart, to touch your life. It certainly has done so to mine. And I know that God wants you to experience how true and how close God can be to you, because he loves you very much. You're not just a number. You are a person, and he knows you. He knows when you were born. He knows when you will die, and he's with you at every moment. Draw near to him. Pray. Ask him to draw himself nearer to you, or draw you to him, because God wants to help you and to guide you and to strengthen you. Don't be afraid. Let's take a look now at the Mass for St. John Chrysostom. He is the patron of preachers, and we need some more good preachers. We have some very good ones, but we need more, and it has to come from the heart, not just from something that's been read. I don't mean that reading something can't be helpful, but that's not just what you rely on. What is God saying here? And so the opening prayer for today is, O God, strength of those who hope in you, who will that the Bishop St. John Chrysostom should be illustrious by his wonderful eloquence and his experience of suffering. Grant us, we pray, that instructed by his teachings, we may be strengthened through the example of his invincible patience. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. So with that opening prayer, let's take a look at the readings for today. The first comes from St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And Paul says, First of all, beloved, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. That's what he did for you. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth. I am not lying. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish, then, that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. The word of the Lord. Let us all, men, women, children who've come to the age of reason, let's make sure that we praise God every morning. I know that's hard sometimes if you have babies, but as they grow, draw them into that group. That the first thing you do when you wake up is to say, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I'm worried about this, or I'm happy about this, or I need wisdom from you. Please help me. Just pray that in the morning. God knows then that you want him with you, and he will draw near. Of course, he will draw near any time he wants, but certainly when you call out to him, he hears your cry very clearly. Psalm 28 tells us, Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard my prayer. Hear the sound of my pleading when I cry to you, lifting up my hands toward your holy shrine. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I find help. Then my heart exults, and with my song I give him thanks. The Lord is the strength of his people, the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people, bless your inheritance, feed them and carry them forever. Let's make that psalm part of our prayer, a psalm that we pray for all those we know and love, for ourselves as well, because God wants to hear our prayer. And people often say, oh, God doesn't hear me. How do you know? God hears every word. Please, draw near to him, and don't be surprised if it takes a while, because God is doing things in your heart, too. So open your heart, and he will hear you. And then we take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. When Jesus had finished all his words to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill, about to die, and he was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, he deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he built the synagogue for us. And Jesus went with them. But when he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Therefore I did not consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a person subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come here, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning, said to the crowd following him, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Jesus didn't even have to go the whole way with them, but he manifested his power and his help and his love for them. And you know, brothers and sisters, he does that for us too. Sometimes we can't see it, or why is God taking so long? Because God's priority list might be a little different than yours. Just say to the Lord sometimes, Lord, put first in my heart what is first in your heart. Ask him, help me. And then go ahead, do what you're doing, but you might get an inspiration, you might get an idea. I wonder who that might have come from, but God himself. So brothers and sisters, we know we're not worthy. We know that. But we have a God who so deeply loves us that we must turn to him more and more. St. John Chrysostom wrote this in the year 407. When you behold the Lord immolated and lying on the altar, and the priest standing over the sacrifice and praying, and all the people purpled by that precious blood, do you imagine that you are still on earth among men and not rather wrapped in heaven? And casting away all worldly thoughts from your mind, do you not contemplate with a clean heart and pure mind the things of heaven? O miracle, O goodness of God, he that sits above with the Father gives himself to all who desire to embrace and receive him. Keep that in mind. Well, God never spoke to me. God's never come to me. How often do you pray? How often do you ask God for his help? How much do you pray every day? Do these things seem to you deserving of contempt, or of such a nature that anyone could despise them? Do you want to learn from another miracle the excellence of that holiness? Picture to yourself Elijah and the immense multitude standing around, and the victim laid on the altar, and all in stillness and deep silence, while the prophet alone prays. And the fire forthwith descends from heaven upon the altar. All this is wonderful and awe-inspiring. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18 if you'd like to read more about that. Pass from then to the sacrifice which is now offered, and you will behold what is not only wonderful, but what exceeds all admiration. For the priest stands bringing down not fire, but the Holy Spirit. And he prays long, not that fire may descend from heaven and consume the oblation, but that grace may descend upon the victim, and through it inflame the souls of all, and render them brighter than fire tried silver. That's St. John Chrysostom who wrote that. Brothers and sisters, our God is so good. Our God is so good and makes himself so, how can I say this? He's very near you. He's very near me. But sometimes we don't pay attention or we don't believe that. We don't think that. God is accompanying us all the time. And you say, how can God reach billions of people? Only God can. But he does. Brothers and sisters, we want to turn to him. And I really want to urge you, please, please receive the Eucharist as often as you can. Please, draw near to him. I don't mean you're going to go around with all kinds of signs and words. It might be a year or two before you hear God is testing you. But draw near to him. He hears you. He knows your need. He will help you. And through the Eucharist, you can be very, very close to him. Very close to him. Please, please don't put Sunday liturgy in second place or third place or fourth place. Always keep it in first place. For that's where God comes to you and gives himself to you. And there you have the time to ask him, Lord, what do you want me to ask for? Not just my thoughts and my hopes, but Lord, what do you want me to ask for? When we do it that way, God is so kind, and God is merciful. I remember one time praying like that, and nothing happened for a couple of weeks, maybe even 3 weeks. And then it suddenly did, at just the right time. God knows what he's doing. Don't be afraid, but take time for him every day so he has opportunity to speak to you. Because oftentimes we're going in such a rush, we can't hear him even if he does speak. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to know him and love him and serve him with all joy. Follow him closely. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.